Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, everybody. This is Silvio Canto in Dallas, Texas, on Saturday, December the 8th. We're getting a lot of rain here in North Texas, and they're having a lot of protesting going on in Paris. If you have been following the news, it's just absolutely amazing what's going on over in Paris, France. It's just stunning. I don't think that we've had this kind of protesting in France, or at least that I'm familiar with. You got to go back to the 1960s. I remember in 1968 that there was a lot of protesting, a lot of stuff going on. But I don't know if it's anything near like this, certainly not for the same reason. A lot of the protesting back in 68 was more of a generational thing, more of a young people were in the streets. But this seems to be way beyond that. In fact, it seems to be outside of Paris as well as in Paris. You have to ask yourself the question. We'll be chatting with our friend Rosine here in a minute. She's been in touch with many people in France, so she's got a pretty good feeling for what's going on. We're also going to get a call from Michael Prada sometime during the show today. He's also been following all of this. But when you look at it from Dallas, Texas, the one question that I have is it only about taxes? I mean, is this sort of something that was, as they like to say, something that was inside, and once the door was open, a lot of stuff is coming out? I don't know. That's why I'm anxious to hear from our friends, Rosine. Let me say hello to Rosine. How are you, Rosine?
I am fine. How are you, Silvio?
Absolutely great. We're getting a lot of cold rain over here. How about you? How's the weather in your part of the world?
Same thing here, Silvio. It's raining and cold. Yes.
Yeah, it seems
very
to be
cold
that way throughout much of the South, much of the
yes,
South, as well as up the Atlantic coast. Anyway, Rosine, maybe you heard my comments there before you came on, that I was, not that I personally remember, but I remember reading about it. Back in 1968, there was some very severe protest in Paris. But when I look at what's happening, at least from where I'm sitting, I'm looking at all of this, Rosine, and I'm asking myself the question, is this only about taxes, or has something been unleashed, something that has been inside for quite some time that is just coming out all at once? Because I saw reports that it was extending to Belgium, that these protests are all over the country, that there's different groups participating. The level of violence is pretty high. So I kind of like to get your reaction to it all. So what are you finding out, and what are you hearing, Rosine?
What I know, it's like you said, it's something I have never seen, something like that, okay? Even if you go back to 1968, it was not like this at all. When you talk about taxes, okay, maybe it's a reason, but it's not the main reason. The main reason is the French people are really fed up about what is going on. The government is taking care of immigrants, taking care of other people than the French people. And the French people are not only, that's true, overtaxed, but also put on the side. You have to look at what happened today in Paris when it was really violent. The government was very organized to stop the protest. You have even the tank. They were sending flashbulbs. We have a lot of people that have been hurt. It was very well organized to try to contain this peaceful, and it is a peaceful march of the people. But if you get back a few years ago at the attack, the terrorist attack of the Bataclan, the police were never, you could not find the police anywhere. They let those people massacred inside the theater. After the soccer game, when those people went on a riot and destroyed under the Arc de Triomphe, on the Champs-Élysées, destroyed stores, burned cars all over the place. The police, you cannot find the police anywhere. So it tells you, and this what makes people very, very nervous and more upset, it tells you that immigrant rioters are treated differently by the government. And that's what upsets them very, very much. Plus, you have to add the tax, the cost of living, and also everything, the immigration. Very important is what's going to happen in Marrakesh.
Right.
I think it's December 10. If the pact is signed, did you read the pact? The pact says that every country who signs the pact must allow people to immigrate, must take care of them, and must adapt to their culture. The French have their own culture. Belgium have their own culture. The German have a culture. So we are going back right now to what President Trump said when he was doing his campaign, saying, I love Europe, but not this Europe. That's
right,
what
exactly.
needs to change.
Yeah, I think you're right. Let me say hello to Michael. Michael, how are you? I wanted to get you in here as well. How are you, Michael?
Hey, Silvio. Hello, Racine. I'm doing
great. Hello, Michael. How are you?
I'm enjoying the wonderful winter, well, almost winter in New York City.
Michael, tell me something. Tell me something. Michael, we were just, before we get back to the topic, I was asking Racine before you came on that we're getting this chilly temperature and rain here in North Texas. What's it like in New York?
It's not raining, but it's very cold. Overnight, we had 14 degrees Fahrenheit, and I think right now it feels with the wind factor around 17 or so.
Okay.
I mean, I love this weather. To be quite honest, I do love it, but now that I'm a homeowner, not that much because I have to pay for the heating bill. So
right, exactly.
As it used to be.
And you also have to clean the snow when it comes. That's the other part of home ownership. You have to clean the snow. You have to, when the windows break, you have to fix them. So that's the part they don't tell you. And they tell you all the tax benefits of home ownership. They don't tell you all the other stuff that comes with it. But, Michael, I was asking Racine a question, and you probably heard a lot of what she said. But, you know, I'm looking at these protests from Dallas, Texas, and I'm following them in the news from down here. And this is a lot more than taxes that people seem to be complaining about. Now, Racine was explaining how people are just so unhappy with so many things, immigration being one of them. But when I see the kinds of violence, I mean, you know, you and I met through the Tea Party a few years ago. This is how we all kind of met. We had protests. But they didn't turn like this. So obviously there's more to this than taxes. And I fear that maybe some groups, and just a theory of mine, Michael, but that maybe some groups are taking advantage of these protests to loot the shops and to hurt people. I mean, do you feel that way, Michael? Hello?
Hello?
Did we lose Michael? I think we just lost Michael.
I think we lose.
Yeah, I think we lost Michael. Are you with me, Racine?
Yeah,
Racine,
with
are you with me?
Yes, but
yeah, okay, all right.
Yes,
I think I think we lost him for a second. He'll be coming on in a second. I think he must have just lost battery or something. But anyway, I was saying, Racine, that do you feel, because I'm looking at the images on television, and when you see the kinds of violence and confrontations with the police. You know, I get the feeling that these people who are angry and marching, do you feel that maybe there's some other motive?
Yeah, no, this is exactly what happened. You know, before, people who were rioting were people.
Yeah, wait one second, Racine, wait one second. Let me get Michael.
Okay.
Michael is on? Okay, Michael,
okay.
You're back on. Okay. All right, Michael. Sorry about that. I don't know what happened, but we lost you. But maybe it was your battery or something.
No, actually, I am currently in the countryside. That's where I live. So
I see. Okay.
There are little pockets here and there in which, you know, cell phone service is not the best. as part of living.
Okay, so
country.
you can do that commercial. Can you hear me? Can you hear me? Can you hear me? Maybe you can do that. Can you hear me now? Can you hear me now? Okay. Well, Michael, we can hear you loudly and clear. Wherever you are, don't move.
Yes, well, I heard the question, most
yes,
of it. And I think that, I don't think that, you know, groups have taken over the protest. I mean, no offense to the French people, but the French people have a history of revolutions. And I think that's just part of their national consciousness, and there is nothing wrong about it. It's just the way French people are, and just like in America, people react and act a certain way. Each country is, each nationality is different. I think that, as you know, it's more than taxes. It's people being fed up with a bureaucracy that's unelected and doesn't represent them, and actually imposes laws and taxes upon them all the time. I think they are tired of the immigration situation that has gotten worse since 2015. It's a multitude of issues. I think that this is the beginning of something that we might see in the next decade of 15 to 20 years. I don't think it's going to be immediate. I don't think we're going to see any change right now. We need to understand that the globalists, the elites in Brussels and in New York and in London, they think long term. And these outbursts by people, of course, they put them in check, but they're thinking long term, and they might resign a couple of their measures. But at the end of the day, what they will do is they will continue pushing for their agenda without any change, and people will go back to sleep. Once, you know, for instance, in this situation, the tax situation is resolved, and if nothing happens in 6 months, I believe that's the issue at hand.
Interesting. I think we lost you again, Michael. But Rosine, from what I understand in the news stories we just lost you again, Michael. But let me go back to Rosine. Mm-hmm. What I understand in the news is that the protest, Paris is where we see most of the coverage, but it's all over the country, and it's even going into, they've had protests on the border with Belgium and the border with the Netherlands. They've rushed the presidential palace. You were telling me off the phone before that I think you said they were rushing or going into the EU headquarters. So this is a lot more than just Paris. We keep saying Paris, but it's really a lot bigger than that, Rosine.
Yes, it is. When you say it's all over France, yes, in every big city and also small city, it's all over. And in Belgium, to be able to march on the European headquarters, that's a big deal. That's a big deal. Mm-hmm. That tells you. And also we had some German wearing some yellow jacket. Now, if you add to that all the Eastern Europe countries that are already declared that they don't want any immigrants and they are not going to sign in Marrakesh, it's a big part of Europe,
mm-hmm.
okay? Plus Italy,
yes.
Italy is joining. Spain, I heard that there was also some movement in Spain, but I don't have any more information about Spain. But Italy, yes. Switzerland, the same thing. Even if they are not a part of Europe, they support the yellow jacket. Germany and Belgium. So, you know, it's almost all Europe that is rising. And
mm-hmm.
I don't think it's over. And I really don't agree with Michael when he said it's going to pass. I think we are marching toward a real big change.
Yeah.
Because
well,
I don't think Macron will be able to stay. That's my
right. No,
feeling.
That's,
okay, I think
that was
going
to be my next. Yeah, that was going to be my next question, and hopefully Michael will rejoin us because I like to hear what he has to say also. But I tend to agree with you, Rosine, with respect to this movement, and because I what I'm seeing in the street, those people, it is interesting. One of the big mistakes, I think, that Macron made two big mistakes. The first one, of course, was the tax itself. But the second mistake, I think, is when he decided to step back. You know, sometimes when you step back, people think you're weak. So in a sense, what's happening is that people see weakness and the protests get bigger, Rosine. That's what I think. But I don't know whether we'll get Michael back or not. But let me hear your thoughts on Macron, because I don't see how he comes back. I mean, when you're at 18% approval, how do you come back from that? I mean, what do you do to get back to 40 or 50%, Rosine?
It's not going to happen. It's not going to happen. The man, when he was elected, you have to be fair on that. When he was elected, they say, oh, we did not vote for him. Well, yes, they did, okay? And after came the legislative election to vote for the assembly, and everybody voted for the Macron party, okay? So there is no doubt about that. He was the symbol of a kind of little hope. But the people that were real in the surrounding were not telling that at all. They were saying the man has a big ego, is going to be a big danger, is a puppet of the big finance and the globalization. Okay? So this is what's happening now. People are rising against him, and he will not come out. Did you see what happened in that small city of Puy-en-Velay the other day? Let me tell you, if his car did not speed up, the people, the mob that was around there would have killed him. Okay? His life is in danger. Let's put it that way. So I don't know what he's going to do. My feeling is that he's going to be very strong and try to stop that movement by force. Mm-hmm. I think that's what's going to happen. But at the end of the day, he will have to go anyway. The French, when the French move, they move, okay?
Right.
And they have also the help of the country around them. They have the example of Italy. Italy is a big example too. So I think the era of Macron is coming to an end.
Yes, that's interesting. Very interesting. I think we lost Michael. I regret that he must be having some telephone problems. I regret that we lost him. I regret that we lost him. But anyway, let me ask you one more question, and maybe give Michael a chance to get back on. Hopefully he can. But there is a headline right now I'm looking at in the Fox News website. The headline is about Macron, but it's the question I want to ask you is about this part of the headline that says, nearly 1,000 in jail in Paris. 1,000 people have been arrested in Paris.
Yes.
And you know, when 1,000 people are arrested, probably 5,000 or 6,000 got away, if you know what I mean. Because I mean, the police can only handle so many people. But where are you going to put 1,000 people? And what's going to happen the next time? There's probably going to be another 1,000 people arrested. I mean, this is the kind of situation, like Michael was saying, that is just completely out of hand. I think we got Michael back on. Michael, I think you're back on. Are you with us?
Yes, I apologize. I'm
no, that's
safe.
Okay, Michael.
I'm finally home, so I'm not going to be going away.
All right, good,
hanging.
Good. Well, I'm delighted that you're with us. When you were away, I mentioned to Rosine about I wanted to take a few minutes here and talk about Macron. But there's a headline that I'm looking at right now, Michael, and this would be like 3:20 Central Time Saturday. I'm looking at this headline that says 1,000 people have been put in jail in Paris because of these protests. And that's only Paris. I'm sure that there's quite a few elsewhere. So the question to you, Michael, is can Macron survive? I don't think that he can, Michael.
I think he will survive. Again, I mean, I think he's what, 1.5 years, 2 years into his presidency. He has 3 to go. That's an eternity in politics. I don't think he's going anywhere. You know, Monsieur Hollande, which was the previous president, was far more unpopular, and, you know, he stayed for the 5 years. I think he will survive. I mean, this is a crisis. This is a setback. Not only for him, but again for the EU establishment, because the protests have expanded to the Netherlands, where the leader of the Yellow Vest movement has been apprehended, put in jail, mm-hmm. and we have the in Brussels. You had the yellow vest people trying to raid the offices of the European Parliament. So there is something going on, of course, in terms of discontent. Again, I don't think we have reached the nadir, to put it that way, the bottom mm-hmm. of the situation in Europe, and that's why I don't think this is going to escalate any further more than what we're seeing. And as I mentioned before, I mean, we as patriots around the world, not only the U.S. but around the world, we need to play the game which is long term, which is the mm-hmm. way the elites and the globalists do it. They play long term. So for them, this is a setback, but trust me, they are prepared on how to deal with this and something even a little bit major than this.
Yeah. Well, let me do this. We don't have a lot of time today, but Rosine, when we spoke off the air, you mentioned that maybe next week we'll have a chance to talk to somebody in Paris. I hope you can arrange that. As I said, we spoke off the air, and as soon as you have that contact, just let me know. We'll figure out a way of doing another show. Michael, I hope you can join us as well the next time we do this. But I don't know where this is going, but I tend to agree more with Rosine than Michael, and I tend to agree with Michael a lot. So, Michael, I'm sorry I have to disagree this time, but I think Macron is history. I really do. I don't think he survives this thing, because I don't think he's got there doesn't seem to be anybody in France who wants him to survive. He doesn't have that 40 or 42% approval base that it takes to survive. So I tend to agree with Rosine that he's in deep political trouble. But guys,
well,
thank you very much.
Go ahead, Michael.
One more quick point, please.
I apologize. Yeah, not to interrupt. I mean, I totally agree with you. The French people do not support him, but he doesn't need to support the French people. He just needs the support of the European Union elites, the unelected bureaucrats, Mr. Juncker, Mr. Tusk. That's why I believe he will survive, but perhaps, and I do hope that they show me wrong, because that would be amazing. I'm serious.
Yeah.
I'm wrong.
Well, I think all of us, we're all basically out, we're looking at a situation and making opinions. Time will tell, but I tend to agree with Rosine on this one how did you put it, Rosine? I love the way you put it. You said it with that beautiful French accent. The time of Macron is over. You said something like that.
Yeah.
Repeat that, please.
Yeah, time is over for Monsieur Macron, not only politically, but I can tell you, when I look at all the video from Paris mm-hmm. to Marseille, Marseille to Bordeaux, and I mm-hmm. see hundreds of different videos of people talking, his life is in danger.
Yeah.
The man cannot walk out in the street. I'm telling you that. He would not be able to walk out in the street. So forget saying the president. What's going to happen if he gets out? Monsieur Larcher, who is the president of the Senate, will take over and for, I think, a few months, and after we will have new election.
Mm.
It will be the best way to save his life. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yes, because that's at that point.
Michael and Rosine, let's do this again next week. Hopefully, if you can get us somebody from Paris, that would be great. And Michael, next week, please join us, and we'll do a longer show, as we tend to do on weekdays. Usually on weekends, we do a shorter show. But I want to thank both of you for joining me. And Michael, I'm sorry we had phone problems, but the next time, hopefully, we won't. But Rosine, as always, thank you to you. And Michael, thanks to both of you.
You're welcome. Thank you, Silvio. Bye-bye.
Okay. Have a wonderful day, both of you. Well, what can I tell you? It's a difficult situation over in Paris. We're going to take a little break. I want you to hear from my friend Carlos, and then I've got a closing thought.
This is Carlos Guedes Harpy. I would like to see you guys this Saturday night at Tzatziki's at the Star, located at 6765 Winning Drive in Frisco. I'll be performing instrumental high-energy music at 6:30 until 9:30 p.m. Make your reservation today at 972-377-2276. Remember, Tzatziki's at the Star is the place to hang out on Saturday night. For upcoming dates, look for me on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram.
And we have a link to Carlos on the show information. Click on that, and it'll take you to his schedule. He's been playing quite a bit around Dallas here lately. We also have a link to my friend Duke Machado. If you're looking for a car, click on that, and he'll be able to talk to you about it. Well, the situation in France is very fluid, as they like to say in the news business. When something is fluid, it can go in different directions, obviously. I tend to agree with my friend Rosine. I think that the days of Macron are coming down. I don't see how he puts it back together. And I don't see how you get these people back in their homes. Not when you have 1,000 people arrested. That says to me that there's a lot of people willing to be arrested. And that's a difficult situation to overcome. France is a heavily taxed and regulated country. And maybe people have had it. And that's what this is all about. What else can you say? Just a quick note about December the 8th. It was on this day in 1980 that John Lennon was killed in New York City. I remember hearing about it the next day. I was actually in Mexico City when I heard about it. And the interesting thing about John Lennon's death that night, or the shooting of John Lennon, is that most Americans learned about it watching the Monday night football game. There was a game between the Patriots and the Dolphins that night. It was the Monday night football game on ABC. And that's how most Americans actually heard about it. They were watching the game, and Howard Cosell, who, by the way, was a personal friend of John Lennon, broke the story. He broke the story from ABC News, confirming that not only had John Lennon been shot, but he was dead on arrival when he got to the hospital. So John Lennon, hard to believe that it was 38 years ago today. But what's interesting is that in a very short time, John Lennon in December, Ronald Reagan, President Reagan in March, and then Pope John Paul II in May, for a very short time there were three major assassinations. Of course, John Lennon was assassinated. President Reagan and Pope John Paul II survived. But for a time there, it seemed like three very prominent people were involved in assassinations. And thankfully, Reagan and John Paul II survived, but not John Lennon, who died, as I say. He was dead on arrival when he got to the hospital 38 years ago. The amazing thing about all of this is that it was 38 years ago. I mean, that is just unbelievable. Unbelievable, unbelievable, unbelievable how 38 years can fly. It just seems like yesterday that I heard the news about John Lennon. Well, thank you very much. Again, thanks to Rosine and to Michael. We're going to do a follow-up show next week, and we'll get into more details of what's happening in Paris, France. Bye-bye, everybody. Have a good weekend from chilly and rainy North Texas. Bye-bye, everybody.